Hello. Welcome to Lesson 7. This lesson is called Preparing Repetitive Letters. And repetitive letters are the clearest and most popular word processing application. A repetitive letter, of course, is a standard document sent to many people. During the lesson, we're going to learn how to prepare the base letter and later how to prepare the master format for printing envelopes or labels. We'll also create a merge file or mailing list, and then merge the names and addresses in the mailing list with the base letter to print repetitive, personalized letters. Toward the end of the lesson, we'll talk about assembling a document from stored paragraphs. Assembling is similar to merging, and is also a popular word processing application. This is an optional lesson. In order to take the lesson, be sure you are familiar with the instructions that you learned in lessons 1 through 4. If you're not comfortable using these instructions, review them before you continue with this lesson. Merging is a fun application. Once you are familiar with the procedures for setting up master documents and merge files, you can apply them to many different kinds of repeating documents. Although we're going to concentrate on using Scriptsit to prepare repetitive letters, we'll also discuss other TRS-80 programs that you can use to prepare the merge file. So if you already have a recorded mailing list, you'll learn how to use Scriptsit to merge the list with a repetitive letter. Figure 7-1 describes what we're going to learn and lists the materials and preparation you'll need. Turn to the figure, read the objectives, and prepare for the lesson. Go ahead, do that now. We often think of repetitive or form letters as junk mail. We all get form letters in the mail encouraging us to subscribe to a publication, to enter a contest, or to attend a seminar. Repetitive letters are a convenient and inexpensive way to sell a product, service, or idea. They enable an organization to quickly communicate the same idea or similar information to a large number of interested persons. In addition to selling, repetitive letters are a way for business, government, and industry to personalize mass correspondence. Personalizing is the key objective for choosing to use a form letter. Advertisers like to personalize a form letter so that even though the same information will be sent to many people, each letter will look like it was typed individually. But to type the same information over and over is a waste of time. The most efficient way to prepare repetitive letters is to use a word processing system. You can create a base letter with all the unchanging parts of the form letter and then merge the base letter with the variable information from a mailing list, the date, name, and address, and other changing information. The mailing list is also called the merge file, since the information in it is merged with the base letter. And unlike other word processing systems, where both the base letter and the mailing list must be prepared according to the same program, with Scriptsit, you can merge a mailing list that was previously created with the Profile 2 program or created with other TRS-80 programs. The format of the mailing list is what's important. Preparing repetitive letters follows a predictable pattern. 1. You create the base letter. 2. You create the merge file or mailing list. 3. You create the master format for the envelope or mailing label. And 4. You merge the base letter with the merge file to print a personalized letter. And then you merge the master envelope format with the merge file to print the envelopes. You may skip the envelope or mailing label format or create it after you create the merge file, but otherwise these 4 steps never change. We're going to practice each step, and as we do, we'll note practical suggestions about working with the base letter and the merge file. You may find these suggestions helpful when you create your own repetitive letters. The first step is to create the base letter. Turn to Figure 7-2, review the instructions, and read the letter. Don't type anything yet. Just review the instructions and read the letter. Go ahead, do that now. This letter illustrates the parts of a repetitive letter. The letter format is simple. The contents are general, but the text is clear, crisp, and concise. Without rewording any of the text, you can plan the changing parts of the letter: the date, the name and address, the salutation, and the recipe titles. The date could be different for each batch of letters you send. The name and address will, of course, be different for each letter, and so will the recipes. When you type the letter, you must tell the system what variable to insert and where to insert it. To do that, you assign a code name to each variable and enclose the name in braces. The letter in Figure 7-3 shows the code name for each variable and how it should be typed. Turn to Figure 7-3, and we'll review the code names together. Go ahead. The code name for the date is always the capital letter D. The braces enclosing the letter tell the system that the D is a code name. And when you merge the letter with the mailing list, the date you type when you load Scriptsit will be inserted in place of this code name. The other code names should more clearly spell out each variable. In this letter, the name and address are divided into 5 code names. Since each person's title will be different, you can plan for this variable by assigning it a code name. In this case, the code name is title. The next 2 code names are for the addressee's first and last name. You may wonder if it's necessary to have 3 code names for what seems like 1 variable. Well, in this example, the extra code names enable you to use each code again when you want to repeat a part of the name. For example, as you look through the letter, you can see that 2 of these code names are used in the salutation. Since you can have an unlimited number of code names, it's up to you how specific you want to be. In this example, you'll save quite a lot of typing time when you create the merge file because you'll only have to type the person's name once. Then when you merge the 2 documents, the system will remember the variable's code name and will insert the person's name wherever the code name appears. As you look at the other code names in the letter, notice how descriptive each one is. By reading the code names, you know exactly what's necessary to complete the letter. Also notice the spaces before and after the braces, the punctuation after some of the code names, and the position of the returns. Remember, to see the returns, you press Control, and without releasing Control, type the letter V. It's a good idea to display the codes while you type the base document, and it's a terrific help when you create the merge file. By viewing the codes, you can see the format for the base document. As you can see from the examples in the figure, the returns come after the right brace, which means the returns are part of the base document. Any return normally called for should be typed in the base letter. In the same line, note that the normal space between words now appears between the braces enclosing each code name. The space is not part of the code name. Once again, by typing word spaces in the base letter, you don't have to remember them when you type the variables in the merge file. The same is true for punctuation. The commas that separate the 3 recipe code names come after the closing brace for each code name. The punctuation is part of the base letter, not the code name. Let's review. A code name represents a variable in the base letter. The name is always surrounded by braces and can appear in the letter as often as you want to insert the variable. The code name for the date must always be the capital letter D. For other variables, choose code names that are brief but descriptive. Don't make format items such as punctuation, spaces before or after a code name, and returns part of the code name. Type these in the base document. The last thing to note about these code names is that they are typed in capital letters. With the exception of the date and page codes, it's not necessary to type the code names in capitals. But the capitals make the code names stand out for the rest of the letter. For our practice, we'll use capital letters to type the code names. But after that, if you prefer to type them in lowercase, it's okay. And now that we've discussed this base letter, it's time for you to type it. Follow the instructions in Figure 7-2 to answer the prompts in the Create Document menu. Then type the base letter with the code names that you see in Figure 7-3. Remember to type braces around each code name. And in case you can't find the brace keys, they are next to the letter P. Go ahead, type the base letter now. We have the base letter or master document. Now, our next step is to prepare the merge file or mailing list. Turn to Figure 7-4, read the instructions, and review the variables. Don't type anything, though. We'll do the lesson together. Go ahead. Read Figure 7-4 now. As you look through the list of variables, notice the pattern they follow. The first group is a list of the code names. In each group of variables that follow, the variable is typed in the same order as the code name that stands for it. Each variable begins on a new line and is enclosed in braces. Each variable ends with the enter symbol, and each group of variables is separated from the next group by a blank line that also contains the enter symbol. The list of code names must be the first group in the merge file. This list acts as an index to the variables. It tells you the number of code names that must appear in each variable group and the order in which the variables must be typed. As noted, the position of each variable in a group must match the position of the corresponding code name in the code group at the beginning of the merge file. If you forget and type a variable out of order, the system will merge the incorrect variable and your finished letter will look a little strange. Besides the list of code names and the need for a corresponding order of the variables, a merge file also must be typed on a separate diskette, and the diskette must be formatted according to the TRS-DOS operating system procedures on the regular TRS-80 program diskette. The diskette should not be formatted according to the scripted procedures. Now for our practice, we're only going to use drive 0, and we're going to use the scripted diskette. But when you finish the lesson and prepare your own base letter and merge files, remember that the procedures will be slightly different. We'll begin together, and as we complete the steps, we'll review what you should do when you use drives 1, 2, or 3. First, if you haven't already done so, press Ctrl Q to quit the base document. Go ahead. Okay, press the F1 key to create a new document, and then answer the prompts in the Create Document menu with the information on the left side of figure 7-4. Go ahead, do that now. Next, type the list of code names exactly as you see them in the figure. Go ahead. Now, if you don't see the boxes that indicate where you pressed Enter, press Control, and without releasing Control, type the letter V. It's easier to check the variables when you can see the codes. Type each group of variables in the figure and remember to enclose each variable within braces. Also remember to end each group of variables with a blank line. Be careful, though, to press Enter only once between each group. One blank line indicates the end of a group of variables, but more than one blank line tells the system that it has reached the last group of variables. And when the two documents are merged, the system will ignore any variables that come after two or more blank lines. Okay, type the five groups of variables in figure 7-4. Go ahead. The only difference between the way we type the variable groups now and the way you'll type them when you create your own merge files is that then you will have a DOS formatted diskette in drive 1, 2, or 3. When you finish typing or adding to a merge file, you must convert the file into a DOS format and to a DOS name. To do that, you select the Merge Document utility. Press Control, and without releasing Control, type the letter U. You may press Escape to see Merge as one of the options. Then type the letter M for Merge. Do that now. The menu page you see on the screen has two purposes. You select the Merge utility when you want to convert a merge file into a DOS format. Then later, you select the Merge utility when you want to merge the base letter with the converted merge file. Since we are going to convert the file, answer the first prompt by typing the letter C. Type the letter C now. Go ahead. The second prompt asks you to name the merge document. And this is one situation where you must be familiar with DOS requirements. The name of the merge file must follow the DOS file specifications. That means the name may have up to 8 characters that are either letters or numbers, with no spaces between characters, and the first character must be a letter. Immediately after the last character of the name, you must type a colon, and then the number of the drive your merge file is in. Now, depending on your own procedures, you may also have a password and an extension with the file name, but we aren't going to work with them here. We're going to call this file Recipes, so you should type Recipes, then without pressing space, type a colon, the number 0, and then press Enter. But before you do that, let me explain what will happen. The disk drive light will come on, and then the first page of the merge file will appear on the screen. While the page is on the screen, the system will read through the variables and convert the file into a DOS format. When the conversion is finished, the cursor will appear in the text area of the screen. Now, if you're using another disk to store the merge file, you would type recipes colon, and then either 1, 2, or 3. But since we're using drive 0, type recipes colon 0 to answer the second prompt, then press Enter. Go ahead, do that now. Converting the merge file into a DOS file doesn't take much time when you only have a few groups of variables. But of course, the longer your merge file is, the more time the conversion will take. Figure 7-5 summarizes the steps we just practiced to prepare the merge file. Review the summary in the figure, and if you want to learn more about DOS file names, review in your Model 2 Owner's Manual the pages noted in the figure. Go ahead. Review Figure 7-5 now. At this point, you are ready to begin merging the two documents. So press Control Q to go back to the directory. Go ahead. One thing you should be aware of when you're working with Scriptsit but have DOS files. If you page through the directory, you won't find the recipes document. A DOS file never appears in the Scriptsit directory. This merge file is actually recorded twice. Once with the name you assigned it when you first created it, and then again when it was converted to the DOS format. If you want to go back and add to or change the merge file, open the document, then remember to convert it again before you merge it with the base letter. All right. Let's review our progress. We've created a base document and a merge file. Before we merge them, here are some additional guidelines about code names and variables. Turn to Figure 7-6 and read through these guidelines. Go ahead, read the information in Figure 7-6 now. We aren't going to review all of the guidelines together, but a few of them are important enough for us to look at more closely. You can begin a code name and also a variable on one line and end it on another, but you can't press Enter within the braces. It's unlikely that you'll need a lot of characters for a code name, but you may for a variable. In either case, a code name or variable can have up to 255 characters. It's also unlikely that your base document or merge file will require more than a dozen different code names. But if it does, each can have up to 255 different code names, and therefore up to 255 different variables in one group. To make the merge file as useful as possible, it can have more code names and variables than the base document. As long as the variables are in the same order as the code names, it doesn't matter if you use them all or not. And finally, if you don't have a variable to insert for a code name in the base letter, type a null or empty variable in the merge file. The open and close braces keep the order of the variables correct in the merge file, and when the documents are merged, the system will delete the code name and the base letter. Be sure to keep these guidelines in mind when you plan your base documents and merge files. They'll make planning both easier. Okay, we're ready to merge the base letter and merge file. Insert a sheet of paper in the printer and check to be sure the printer is connected to the system and is turned on. Go ahead, do that now. I'll describe the steps to begin merging. Then you can review them and print the merged letters on your own. First, you open the base letter. When the text of the letter is on the screen, select the Merge Document utility. Type the letter B to answer the first prompt in the Merge Document menu page. Then you type the DOS name of the merge file recipes and press Enter. Next, the Merge Document menu appears. This menu gives you the opportunity to change the document specifications before you print it. We're not going to change the line per page or any of the other settings in this lesson, so when the Merge Document menu appears, just press Escape to begin printing. When you press Escape, the base letter will appear on the screen, and the system will begin to print the first merged letter. At the end of the page, printing will stop, and a message will appear telling you what to do to print the next letter. Remember to insert another sheet of paper in the printer, and then follow the instructions in the prompt to continue printing. That was a quick explanation, but figure 7-7 summarizes the procedures. The notes at the end of the figure describe some of the flashing messages that may appear during a merge. If a message appears while you're merging these two documents, review the note, then correct the problem, and merge the documents again. Because the information in the figure is very important, take the time now to review it. Then go ahead and print the 5 merged letters. Go ahead, review, and then print the letters. You should have 5 personalized letters. Each is an original, even though you only type the base letter once. It's easy to see why merging is the smart, time-saving way to handle form letters. One last note about preparing merge files and merging them with a base letter. If you already have mailing lists or merge files that were recorded with another TRS-80 program, it's possible to use that file to create your merge file. The Profile 2 program can be used specifically for mailing lists, and the variables in a Profile 2 merge file follows the same format that you just practiced. The only thing you must do is to extract the merge file information you want from the Profile 2 master diskette. Once the information is on another diskette, the merge procedures are the same. Now, if you have a mailing list that has been recorded with some other TRS-80 program, you may have to revise it a little. Be sure the information follows the standard merge file format. Begin with the list of code names. Enclose all code names and variables in braces, and separate each group of variables with a blank line. In addition, the file must be created to be fixed length and have a record length of 1. Figure 7-8 gives some additional information about merging non-scripted merge files. Review the information if it applies to you. Also check the Scripcit reference manual and the reference manual for the program you created the file with. Review Figure 7-8. Then we'll talk about preparing envelopes. Go ahead. All right. You have the 5 personalized letters, but in order to send them, you must address envelopes to each person. One of the nice things about merging is that you can use the same merge file to print the envelopes. You don't have to retype any of the names and addresses. The last step in preparing repetitive letters is creating the format for printing envelopes or mailing labels. We're going to create another base document and merge it with a merge file, and then the letters will be ready to be signed and sealed. Envelopes come in standard sizes. The most common size is the number 10. This envelope is used for most business correspondence. We'll use the number 10 envelope for our practice, but if your office uses a different size envelope, you can modify the guidelines according to your needs. Envelope size is important because it determines where you position the name and address. For a number 10 envelope, the paper size and the lines per page should be no more than 25. Once you move from the menu page to the working page, set the format for the envelope. For a number 10, margins at 40 and 80 will normally be acceptable. That means the name will begin about halfway across the envelope. After you set the margins, press Enter 10 or 12 times, and then on one line, type the code name for the title, first name, and last name. Then type the address on the next line and the city, state, zip on the next line. And that's all there is to the envelope format. It becomes the base document, and to print the envelopes, you can merge it with the same merge file you prepared earlier. Figure 7-9 lists the procedures to prepare the envelope format and includes an example of what the envelope format will look like on the screen. Read the information in the figure. Then prepare the envelope format and merge this new base document with the recipes merge file. Go ahead, do that now. There we are. The letters are ready to be signed and mailed. And we're almost at the end of the lesson. Just one more topic to discuss and we'll be finished. Besides merging variables into a base letter, you also can assemble a document from a series of stored paragraphs. These stored paragraphs are often called boilerplate text. Boilerplate text is information that always appears in the same form whenever it is used in a document. Although boilerplate may contain essential information, the text in the paragraphs doesn't change from one document to the next. For example, a will or an insurance contract could be composed from a series of boilerplate paragraphs. Different paragraphs may be used in each document, but the text in the paragraphs never changes. If you work with stored paragraphs, you will develop a library of paragraphs from which you can select the ones you need. Assembling paragraphs is similar to merging information. You create a document to provide a collection point. Then you select the Assemble Document utility and type the names of the paragraphs you want. The system searches through the disk, finds the paragraphs, and copies them onto the new document. Once the information is all together, you can repaginate the document so that the information is in the correct format and then print it. We aren't going to practice assembling paragraphs during the training program, but it's the kind of application that becomes more valuable the more you work with word processing. Keep it in mind, and when the time comes, you'll be ready to use it. Also, be sure to read the information about assembling in the Scriptsit reference manual. Well, now, we're at the end of the lesson. If the directory page is on the screen, you can select the End Session utility and then remove the Scriptsit diskette and turn the system off. If you want to practice merging a little more, go right ahead, but be sure that the End Session prompt is on the screen before you remove the diskette and turn the system off. And don't forget to review Figure 7-10, which has the list of features and terms we covered during the lesson. Lesson 8, our last lesson, discusses disk management. We'll practice printing the directory, changing the disk defaults, and other management features and ideas. See you in Lesson 8. Fast forward the tape. This is the end of Lesson 7.